Greetings and welcome. Nesson.com's The Spread, Nesson.com's Football Picks Podcast. Almost forgot the name of our own podcast, despite it being about 10 years now of doing this, or so it feels like. I'm Nesson.com's Mike Cole, joined as always by Andre Kachaturian, Ricky Doyle. Within the next 30 to 40 minutes, we will break down the three best games of the NFL slate, week 7, if I'm not mistaken. We'll do against the spread picks, we'll do some locks, we'll do some upsets. Then we'll get on our way out of here. If you're watching on YouTube, bless you and welcome. But please go to iTunes or Spotify or wherever else you get your podcasts. Download, subscribe, rate, review, do all of that. We would really appreciate it. If you're listening on iTunes or Spotify or whatever, go ahead and give us a 5-star rating. We'd really appreciate that as well. I don't really know a tangible benefit of it right now, but it would make us feel nice. So that's always great. Guys, how are you?
Striving for. Anything to boost our egos a bit.
Exactly.
And we like our egos boosted. You didn't ask how we're doing today.
I know. I wanted to make sure.
I was starting to get a little nervous about that, actually.
I tried to sneak it in as Ricky started talking. If you go back to the tape, it'll be there. I think I pulled off a guys, how you doing? I apologize. So, gentlemen.
I don't know. I'm kind of sad that you displayed lack of manners, but I am ready to make some football picks.
It's there. If you go back and listen to it, it is there.
All right.
95% sure. So, Andre, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you. How are you?
Whatever. I'm fine. So let's do football stuff.
Wasting time.
Pretty good slate this week, I suppose. But before we get into the three best games, we have to look back, see how we did last week, try to learn from our mistakes. Andre, how'd we do?
I actually, for the spread picks that we do, three games, I went 3-for-3, so I'm very proud of that.
Especially the first time that's ever been mentioned.
But. I know, but it was interesting because you guys...
How about cherry-picking stats?
Yeah, no kidding.
No, I'm not cherry-picking anything. You guys disagreed on some of my picks, so I just wanted to rub it in your guys' faces. But
well, then fine. Yeah, just say that from the beginning. I mean...
Week 6, overall records, though, Mike, you and I led the way. I don't want to say lead the way. We both went 6-8. But we went both on 6-8, and Ricky, you went 5-9. We look like the NFC East, 6-8 and 5-9. That's probably what's going to happen at the end of the year. And overall, I lead the way with 44 wins, Mike 43, and Ricky 35. You're actually 19 games under 500 right now. That can change very quickly in a couple weeks.
Tough year for everybody.
He's still in the striking distance of first place. Probably not going to win the Super Bowl, but definitely could come back and win the division. So
I'm trying to play spoiler. That's all.
All right. Let's do this. I just got to double check on the time here this is a 1 o'clock game. All right. Let's start with, maybe on paper, the best game of the year so far. A game that has a lot of playoff implications or could down the road. You've got the 5-0 Pittsburgh Steelers going on the road to take on the 5-0 Tennessee Titans. This game's at 1 o'clock in Nashville. Weather doesn't look to be much of an issue. Steelers, 2-point road favorites. Total set at 52.5. Ricky, who do you like here?
So when we first talked about this game 3 weeks ago, or whatever it was, I said we could probably just edit the sound and drop it into this week's version of the spread. And yes. I feel like we could have done that, at least for my portion of it, because my pick hasn't changed. I still – really like the Steelers in this game. I don't even – has the spread changed since then? I think it's still
– I think that's what it was 3 weeks ago. It might have even gained a half a point. It might have been a point and a half back then. I'm not sure.
Basically both of these teams are just, taking care of business since that little hiccup in the schedule. But I like the Steelers, and I like them for a lot of the same reasons. Obviously, that defense, it's – no matter how you slice it, it's among the top – it might be the best defense or among the top 2 to 3 defenses in the NFL. And I just think that their strengths on defense really help them, mitigate what the Titans do offensively. I mean, they're excellent against the run. They pressure the quarterback, which I think if there is an opportunity to slow down Ryan Tannehill dating back to last season, it's when he's under pressure. I look at their, particularly against play action, which is really what that Titans offense has been built on. Since Tannehill took over, you look at his stats, 12.2 yards per attempt, 92.1 QBR, 15 TD passes on play action, The Steelers, meanwhile, allowing the lowest QBR and completion rate on play action since the beginning of last season. So if they could take away that aspect of Tennessee's offense and also limit what Derrick Henry's been able to do, you got to think at some point you sort of wait for that workload to catch up. You know, 3 games in 13 days, not exactly an ideal schedule for Tennessee. So I like the Steelers in this one. I just think that, you know, like I said, what they were able to do defensively. And then also if this does turn into a shootout, the Steelers offense, I mean, they're just, they're so diverse in what they're able to do, able to run the ball, so many weapons from a receiving standpoint. So overall, I like Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I don't have much to add, Ricky. It's wild to me that the Steelers, this is like their first undefeated start, 5-0 in like since like the 70s. They've had so many great teams since then, and it was surprising to me to see that they haven't been 5-0 since that time. But yeah, third in yards allowed per play. They did a great job of exposing Cleveland last week for what they are. I think they're kind of gonna do that with the Titans this week. You know, obviously Tennessee's a great running team. You said they're great on the play action, but the Steelers do a great job against the run. They allow just 3.3 yards per carry. They might force a situation where Tannehill has to throw the ball a lot. And I don't think that's what the Titans are. I think that's they thrive best when they're running the ball well. And also, you're going to see a game where Ben Roethlisberger has a lot of time to throw the ball. The Titans are 28th in sacks this year. Meanwhile, the Steelers lead the league in sacks. So if you get a situation where you know that Tannehill's throwing the ball every down because they can't get the running game going and the Steelers are just pressuring him, this can get very ugly. I really like the Steelers in this one. I like the Steelers next week against the Ravens too. I like the Steelers every week. I'm like, just take them now until – you have to show me that I'm not going to take them. They're the most balanced team in the NFL right now with the exception of maybe the Bucks. And it's wild, right? We have all these new quarterbacks coming in, Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Jared Goff, all these new guys. But here we are, Ben Roethlisberger and Tom Brady. I think those two teams are the best in the NFL.
I have changed my mind. I'm taking Tennessee.
Whoa!
And I disagree with, like, a lot of what you guys are saying. I don't think the run game matters much. Ryan Tannehill has been that good. Like, since he took over last year, was it week 7? He leads the NFL in touchdown passes. He's won like 40 touchdown passes, yards per attempt. I saw that Pro Football Focus, by the way. What else is there? You know, he's, you look at like EPA and stuff like that, expected points, whatever it is. Like their passing game is just as good, if not better, than their running game. Like, I think they've proved that they can do both. And, you know, Tannehill has looked like one of the best quarterbacks in the entire league. For the better part of a season now, and you know, you say if he has to throw the ball a lot, they're gonna be in trouble. They're 3-0 this year when he's attempted, you know, 37 passes or more. Like, so it's been, they're comfortable with him throwing the ball. I think it's easy to look at like Derrick Henry and be like, this is what they want to do, and I'm sure that's what they do. And I think the best point made so far is the one by Ricky with the play action. I do think that is an important thing, but yeah, exactly. But I think this is just a different Titans team than maybe we've grown accustomed to seeing even over the last year. I think they're more comfortable throwing the ball a ton if they have to, and they will this week because, yeah, Pittsburgh's going to do a lot to take away the run probably. But even then, you look at the Steelers have injuries, and so do the Titans, but the Steelers probably going to be without Devin Bush, linebacker, who's got a significant knee injury, might be without Mike Hilton in the secondary, and he's been one of the better corners in the league. Marquise Pouncey's hurt on the offensive line as well. That being said, you do have to mention Tennessee. Taylor Lewan, torn ACL, Jonas Smith is hurt as well. But I just think there's going to be, you know, I think there's going to be some big play potential for Tennessee. And I think they're going to keep it close. And I wouldn't be surprised if they win, obviously. Going back to the EPA thing, Pittsburgh this year has played the Giants, Denver, Houston, Philly, and Cleveland. Those are the 31st, 29th, 11th, 28th, and 23rd offenses in EPA per play. Tennessee ranks first. So this is by far the best offense that the Steelers have had to play this year. You know, Tennessee just continues to, my brother is a big Titans fan. And I'm like, I was texting with him. I was like, I just still don't even know if the Titans are good. Like, the Titans had to come from behind to win that wild game against Houston. They got, you know, borderline lucky with the Texans choking it away. But also you look at Vrabel, just a brilliant mastermind, on that sideline, the play that he, the whole thing where he sent guys on for an intentional too many men on the field penalty to stop the clock, to give them a chance to make that comeback. I think there's a coaching advantage there for Tennessee in this one over Mike Tomlin. So I like that as well. You know, Pittsburgh is going to blitz a ton. That's not a big deal for Ryan Tannehill. Last year, he completed 65% of his passes with 128 pass rating against the blitz. This year, he's been a little bit worse with a 61% completion percentage, but a 113 passer rating. It's a situation he feels relatively comfortable in. So I just think, you know, at some point the Steelers are going to have to crack. This is the best team that they've played so far. And I think even the last few weeks, you go back to that Philly game, they didn't look especially impressive. Houston, they kind of struggled with. Denver, you know, they haven't – the Cleveland game last week was really their first, like, thorough 60-minute blowout. So I think this is a close game, and I'll take, you know, Tennessee.
Tennessee struggled with Houston. Tennessee struggled with Denver. Tennessee should have lost to Denver.
Okay, but they didn't, and I'm getting points here. So, I mean, it's just – you made point.
It's clear that this is the best offense that the Steelers have faced, and this is the best defense that the Titans have faced. So it's really, you know, the irresistible force meets the immovable object, so to speak.
But I do think, like, I really come back to, like, those Pittsburgh injuries where, you know, Bush and Hilton. Like, I guess I probably should have checked, but Hilton had a shoulder. He got evaluated Sunday. I think he's kind of up in the air. Bush has a significant knee injury. He's not going to play. Like, those are two pretty big pieces of that defense. And I know that maybe that kind of counteracts the Luan injury, but – I don't know. It's just – I think this is a great – I can't wait to watch this game because I do – Ricky, to your point, like, we're going to learn something pretty big about both of these teams.
We should also acknowledge the Titans, their run defense is very weak. More than 5 yards per carry on the ground. You get James Conner this year. He's been running the ball very well this year. And even putting Chase Claypool in running plays as well. He's got a couple rushing touchdowns this year. Chase Claypool, he's really made Ben Roethlisberger feel comfortable this year. And the good thing about the running game also going well for the Steelers is that Roethlisberger is 24th this year in pass attempts. He's not throwing the ball 90 times a game anymore because of that 11 touchdowns, one pick. One pick for Ben Roethlisberger. I don't think you guys realize how significant that is for a guy like Big Ben. But led the league in interceptions in 2018. So
it's almost zero, I understand.
No, but like for Big Ben, the guy's an interception machine. He only has one this year for him. Yet he took that year off. I think every athlete after the age of 30, Tom Brady should have taken a year off last year.
Because he looked so bad down in Tampa this year.
You have a great defense.
Ricky, what are you going to say?
No, I just going to say that I think that to your point about the offense, it's just – I feel like that if this game does turn into sort of a track meet with, you know, the Titans being able to move the ball and that Steelers defense, I think Pittsburgh can win in that type of game as well. I think that ultimately is what sort of steers me towards them.
I will say, though, Mike.
No matter how this game shakes out, I think Pittsburgh can sort of keep pace.
I hear what you're saying, but I'm like the opposite, where if, like, Tennessee isn't a shootout, that means they're not having problems with the Pittsburgh defense, so I like them better to win. If that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense. You make good points, Mike. It's hard to argue with you, but I just the Steelers, I think they're the more balanced team, and I think that bad rush defense for the Titans, that's the only weakness among both of the teams. I don't think the Steelers really have one.
I got to think T.J. Watt is going to make a phone call to J.J. Watt after last week's game, right? You know, and get you know, how that Taylor Lewan injury impacted Tennessee. A few text messages at least being exchanged. Maybe calling the landline.
Yeah.
Asking, hey, is JJ home? I gotta talk to him real quick.
Well, it's not even just last week either. I mean, they're division rivals. So,
yeah.
JJ Watt's taken plenty of beatings from Tennessee over the years. So, all right. Let's go to Sunday afternoon, 4:05 game. NFC West. Slobber knocker. What is this? I guess Andre saw this coming, but the Seattle Seahawks coming off the bye, 5-0, go on the road, go to the desert, take on the Arizona Cardinals. Cardinals 4-2 after a Monday night win in Dallas, a convincing one at that. Seattle laying 3.5 points on the road here. Total set at 55. Andre, who do you like?
Oh, another battle of the birds. Fantastic. I like. I like Arizona. It was hard for me to take them because
there's a little hesitation there.
Yeah. I'm not very confident in this pick, but I do like Arizona. It's hard for me to take them, but I am taking them because it is a divisional game and Arizona is getting points at home. And for that reason, I'm taking the Cardinals. It's also 3.5 points, which that half point made me, I'm going to take it. Obviously, I do like Seattle. I think they're one of the best teams in football, but I think Arizona is really showing that, you know, they're going to show up in these big games. Came out really strong on Monday night in a nationally televised game and dominated the Cowboys. Did well against the 49ers in week one. I think they're really flying under the radar. And Pro Football Focus really hates the Cardinals. And they had them at 29th prior to their week six win overall. They have their overall ratings. 29th. I don't know how they determined that, but that's what they were. But when you look at the actual numbers, the tangible numbers, Arizona has the better yards per play differential than Seattle. So I think there's a lot of good value in this bet if you look at the metric. Arizona has they move the ball well. They showed it again last week. Their defense came up big against Dallas. And I know, yes, it was Andy Dalton, but that offense is still stacked with a lot of talent. They held the Cowboys to just 4.1 yards per play. Maybe I'm overreacting to this week six win a lot, but also let's look at Seattle's last four wins, all by one possession. They've allowed at least 23 points in every game. Their defense allows some points. So I think even if the Cardinals don't win this game, I think they keep it close at home.
Yeah. Betting on a Seahawks game in general, I feel like is an easy path to an early grave. I mean, just week to week, you're getting those close games, even if they cover. It feels like it comes down to the final possession. I honestly don't know what to make of the Cardinals. I feel like there might not be a bigger discrepancy between a team sailing and floor than what the Cardinals do. Cause it just feels like nothing, even when they have success, it just doesn't feel very sustainable. Is it just sort of Kyler Murray improvising and, you know, doing a lot of what he did against the Cowboys on Monday night. So I look at these two teams, and in the long run, I think that Seattle is by far the better team. But I'm kind of with you, Andre, in that I just like getting the points here for a divisional game at home. Given that volatility, I mean, there's always the chance that, you know, Kyler Murray goes off and has some of those big runs. Arizona should be able to match wits with them, sort of in the explosive play department. Seahawks defense, I feel like always is just finding a way to sort of keep teams in games. You look at their total yards allowed through their first five games is the most allowed since 1950. Only the Giants have allowed more yards per drive than the Seahawks. Seahawks have allowed the most. Only the Giants have allowed more plays per drive. Seahawks have allowed the most yards per drive. So I don't know. I don't really like this game either way. I probably wouldn't touch this if given the opportunity. I'd probably, if anything, I like the over. I think this is going to be a lot of points scored in this game. And ultimately, I'll take the home team getting points in the divisional game.
Yeah, I'm taking Arizona as well.
Wow.
I don't know what to make of them.
This is not going to age well, but I'm not sure how good Seattle is. Like, I know Russell.
I'm not either. I think I just have more. I have higher trust in Seattle, basically because of that quarterback coaching tandem.
Sure,
like you've seen it over a long period, so it's easier to sort of put your eggs in that basket.
They are pulling everything out of their ass this year, and like they've been doing that
last year for
a while now, right? And so I guess it is sustainable, but like, how many times can you get Mike Zimmer to make a boneheaded play or whatever, you know, get a stop on fourth down, go down the field and score on a diving catch? Or how often can you stop Cam Newton at the goal line? Like, I don't know, maybe they can all year. Russell Wilson's that good. I'm not trying to take away from Russell Wilson, but like, I just don't love Seattle. And in this game, I especially don't love the matchup. Their offense going against Arizona's defense, assuming Arizona doesn't give up the big play. And they've been really good at that this year. Where is it right here? Arizona defense ranks 11th in the league in explosive pass plays allowed. That's from Sharp Football Stats. So if they can continue to do that, they got to, you know, keep it keep Seattle, you know, bottled up, get them the third down. And if they get them the third down, Arizona has the 7th ranked third down defense in the league. Seattle's offense is ranked 29th. It's just, I think they can get Seattle off the field. And if that's the case, then, you know, they're going to get their points. You look at the run game. You want to talk about explosive plays. Arizona ranks 3rd in explosive run plays. Seattle just 20th in limiting that. So I just think there's going to be opportunities here for Arizona to kind of fluster the Seahawks. And again, I think it comes back to just as long as, you know, the Cardinals don't give up those big pass plays, which is a huge if against Seattle. But if they can do that, they can, you know, they can win on first and second down. I think they're going to get off the field and they're going to get a chance to score some points. So I like the Cardinals just getting points at home here.
I know it's kind of cliche, but like the Cardinals, their worst enemy, like it could be themselves in this game. I mean, they just can't beat themselves, because it seems like we've seen so many teams. You mentioned the Mike Zimmer incident, you know, like just the Vikings puking on themselves, and just it's sort of like that, almost like that Patriots element to it, where like teams that go up against Seattle, it tend to kind of fall apart in crunch time. And I think that sort of plays into their they're 14-2 straight up in one score games dating back to last season. And no other team has more than 10 such wins. So it is just sort of living life on the edge a little bit. And you do wonder if you know, how long you can play with fire before you get burnt. Their defense, you know, the turnovers, the defense has forced 10 turnovers this year and turned 8 of those into touchdowns, the other two being kneel downs at the end of the game. So it's just, as long as Arizona doesn't beat themselves, they should be all right. But that's easier said than done, because I do think that, like I said at the top, their peak and their floor, I think there's a huge difference there. And it's such a tough team week to week to figure out what you're going to get.
Arizona actually beat Seattle on the road last year in week 16. I think that's,
That was Russell Wilson's worst game of the year.
Yeah, so. It was. 16-31, the touchdown, no picks, only 169 yards, was sacked 5 times. Chandler Jones injured, so.
Yeah, I was going to mention, these two teams split last year. The road team won both games, obviously, to Andre's point. A couple other things. Seattle coming off the bye. Pete Carroll, Seahawks under Pete Carroll, 7-3 straight up after the bye, 6-1 in the last 7. And I do think, you know, if you're looking for reasons to take Seattle, there's a big-time rest advantage here with Seattle coming off the bye. It looks like they might get Rasheem Green back. Philip Dorsett can make his debut. Snacks Harrison can make his debut. And Arizona, obviously, on the short week after Monday Night Football. So there are some trends, if you want to call them that, in Seattle's favor there. So
something honestly, I would not be surprised if Seattle blew them out. I'm taking the Cardinals, and a lot of it stems, like I said, from just getting the points or in a divisional game with the home team. But I mean, if Seattle goes in there and blows them out, that I wouldn't find that shocking in the least. I mean, the Cardinals, this is a situation where they're probably feeling themselves after that win over the Cowboys and where they blew out the Jets last week. So it's back-to-back wins that you sort of take with a grain of salt. So we'll see.
I don't really – I'm ready to move on.
Okay, good. Now we have your blessing.
Just one more thing to add. Sorry. Seahawks really don't blow out anyone either, though. That's just the thing. That's why I see this one getting the points, Arizona at home. I don't know.
Okay.
Glad you had to throw that in there at the end. The pick would not have been complete without that.
No, you're right. It wouldn't have. I actually did state that as well, so I didn't need to reiterate.
Okay, now we're good. All right. America's game of the week, I think is what they call it. Sunday afternoon, 4:25 hour. I guess 4:25 is an hour. That's the specific time that the game will start. San Francisco 49ers head to New England, take on the Patriots in the Jimmy Garoppolo Bowl. Patriots 2.5-point home favorites after losing to Denver last week. San Francisco, meanwhile, got right on Sunday night. They are 3-3, total 45.5. It doesn't look like weather is going to be much of an issue here. I guess we are getting into that time of year, especially for games in New England. So, Patriots laying 2.5 here against the 49ers. Ricky, who do you have?
Taking the Patriots on the assumption that this is a game that the defense can win for them. That those their offensive flaws, I think, are they're legitimate. I think that they sort of I think we saw them even when the Patriots were winning games. I mean, I think that it was hard to find that, you know, their offensive game plan to be sustainable. So I think this is going to be a low-scored game, in which case I trust the Patriots defense to pull off a win by a field goal here. I think that, you know, they've faced some tough tight ends. They've been able to take that away to a, you know, to some extent. So maybe they're able to minimize George Kittle in this game. Patriots have allowed second fewest receptions and third fewest receiving yards to tight ends. Also allowed the fifth fewest receptions and fourth fewest receiving yards to running backs. So I think in order for the 49ers, who've had their own offensive issues, to put up points, they're going to have to push the ball down the field. And with it being Jimmy Garoppolo, who, I mean, obviously the Patriots know him as well as any opponent that the 49ers are going to face, I just think that they're going to have a hard time with this New England defense. So I like a low-scored game, and I like the Patriots winning by a field goal. And I just – and maybe it is a little bit of blind faith just in the fact that I do think that the practice situation, the lack of practice last week, impacted the Patriots, particularly when you're just trying to piece together an offensive line. So if they're able to get a full week of practice, like, I think that's important. I think they need that full week of practice. I think they need the extra week of recovery for Cam Newton, who was sort of just thrown into the fire a little bit after the COVID situation. I just think that this is a refocus week for the Patriots, and they get it done.
Yeah, I agree with you, Ricky. I'm going to take the Patriots as well. San Francisco has allowed the most rushing yards to quarterbacks in the NFL this year, so I think this is a good opportunity for Cam Newton to thrive on the ground. And I think he'll clean up, as he's a very inconsistent quarterback. And the Patriots have 7 turnovers in the last 2 games. So I think, you know, when you're inconsistent, that means when you're doing poorly, that means you're going to do well the next week, right? It's the roller coaster effect. I think Cam Newton figures it out this week. And the Patriots, you know, obviously their defense is great. But it's also I'm pretty high on the Patriots. So I think their week 1 win versus Miami, that's aged pretty well. Miami's 3-3 now. And then their week 2 loss was pretty close against Seattle. That's aged well as well. And there's no shame in losing to Kansas City. Everyone loses to Kansas City. And that Denver loss, again, they didn't allow a single touchdown. Their defense showed up. They played well. Cam Newton made some bad mistakes. Denver got good field position, and they got field goals out of that. And I don't think that happens this week. I think Cam Newton cleans it up. Patriots run the ball well against a team that doesn't hold quarterbacks. A team that allows a lot of rushing yards to quarterbacks, and I think Patriots take it. Especially there has to be that revenge factor. Bill Belichick, you know, trading away Jimmy Garoppolo, he wants to show everyone who's right, make the right decision. So, I like the Pats.
I like the Patriots as well. I think the play here is the under 45.5. Both teams at the bottom of the bottom third in the NFL, and you know, advanced offensive statistics. Let's see, 2 top 6 red zone defenses. 19th and 20th in third down offense, both in the top 8 in third down defense. Patriots banged up on the offensive line, but you know, San Francisco is going to be without Raheem Mostert probably. You guys mentioned the Kittle thing. You go back to what the Patriots did against Darren Waller week 3. He was coming off that huge game on Monday night against the Saints. He had 2 catches on 9 yards, 2 catches for 9 yards and 4 targets. Patriots took care of business there. I like what Andre mentioned about the running thing. If this is going to be a low-scoring game, I think it's going to be close. And if that's going to be the case, I trust Cam Newton to make a big play more than I trust Jimmy Garoppolo. Maybe that's a fool's errand or whatever this saying is. Maybe it's that is a take that's not going to age well. But I just think, you know, he breaks a big run somewhere that puts them in a field goal range or something like that that gets them the win here and to cover the 2.5. I also think you look at – this is kind of the spot – the 49ers were in last week, right, where they needed a win, desperate as all hell to get a win, get back on track. That's kind of where the Patriots are now after losing to Denver this week. So it's just one of those things. I know at a certain point this is going to end up being wrong and just doesn't make sense, and you're just kind of playing up an old narrative just because. But, like, are the Patriots really going to lose 2 home games in a row? Like, yeah. It doesn't feel like that's going to happen. Now, maybe both teams are full health here. I'd like San Francisco a little bit better, but they still have the injuries on defense. I think they kind of kitchen sinked it last week. I think there's a little bit of a letdown here. So I guess I'll take the Patriots. But I really don't have a great read on this one, other than I think it's going to be a low-scoring game, to Ricky's point. So I would be on the under 45.5. If you have to pick a side, I'll take the Patriots.
This could be, late fourth quarter, Jimmy Garoppolo with the ball and a chance to drive down the field and give the 49ers a win, and he ends up throwing a pick.
Classic, he tries to force a ball in down the sideline. The ball gets tipped. The safety, Jason McCourty, comes over, makes the pick. Game over. All right, let's do locks. Goes
wild.
Yes, of course. Let's do locks. Andre, who's your lock?
Lock, I'll take Tampa Bay over, I was going to say Oakland, Las Vegas. Again, I talked about earlier how I think Tampa Bay is one of the most complete teams in the league. They're number one in yards allowed per play. Obviously, they have a lot of offensive threats. They're third in yards per play differential. I think it all starts with the run defense for Tampa Bay. They haven't allowed a 100-yard rusher all year. And Josh Jacobs is not an efficient runner, just 3.6 yards per carry. So I think Tampa Bay stops the run, and then they make Derek Carr have to do too much. And yeah, Carr is actually the most accurate quarterback in the NFL this year, but you have to throw that many times against a great defense like Tampa Bay. I don't think it's going to be a good thing. And Las Vegas, they allow the eighth most yards per carry. Well, Tampa Bay, Ronald Jones, and what's the other guy's name? Leonard Fournette. Together, they average nearly 5 yards per carry. So Tampa Bay, good running attack too, which means Tom Brady made a great decision. He's what, 43-year-old man? Plus for a team with an excellent running attack, amazing wide receiver weapons, and an unbelievable defense. So I would love to see Big Ben and Tom Brady go at it one more time in the Super Bowl this year.
No.
What do you mean, though? It's a great rivalry.
That Bucs ceiling is, I think, as high as any team in the NFL. I think they kind of showed that this past week. I think they're a bunch of knuckleheads, and I don't love the coach, but, like, when they put it all together for a week or for a sustained period of time, they are so good. Like, there's just so much speed. They're good on both sides of the ball. I just don't trust them in the long term. But anyway, Ricky, who's your lock?
Yeah, they have a big pass interference penalty in the NFC Championship written all over them.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Some sort of false start that puts them in a position, puts them out of field goal range or something.
Old men somewhere, probably, yeah.
Yep. I like the Browns, 3.5-point favorites over the Bengals. Seems like a get-right spot for Cleveland, which is kind of weird to say considering over the years their issues seem to snowball more than any team in the NFL. But I think this is just a good spot for them. Bengals, bad run defense, no pass rush, which were really two of the biggest things that Cleveland had contest with last week against Pittsburgh. So the Bengals are a team that, they're a pain in the ass. I mean, they're going to be a pain for teams throughout the course of the year. But I'd like to be getting more points than the 3.5. So, I don't know. I just think that Cleveland's going to be able to rely on the run more so than they were able to against Pittsburgh. So, I'll take them.
I'll take the Packers, 3.5-point favorites at Houston. I think that's as bad as the Packers are going to be all year. I think that was more of a I thought somebody put it well on Packers Twitter. It was like, that probably is more like the Chargers game from a few years ago than it was from the 49ers game last year. I think it was a blip on the radar. A much softer place to land this week against a Houston defense that is just completely abysmal. It's so bad. Bottom of the league and everything, especially run defense. So I think it's a good spot for Aaron Jones to get right. The Packers, probably a bit of a paper tiger. Coming into last week, they hadn't beaten a whole lot of good teams, especially defensively. And I think this is a much better matchup, kind of going back to that after Tampa. I think some people are going to jump off the Packers after that. So I like Green Bay to get right here. So let's do upsets.
Generally speaking, sorry, I don't mean to cut you off, but like I like the idea of finding the team that had just bottomed out. And seeing if you can sort of gain value there.
Definitely.
That's sort of the approach you're taking. That's the one I'm taking. And I think we saw last week, the 49ers had bottomed out the previous week and then came back with that home win over the Rams. I think the Bucs sort of bottomed out to an extent against the Bears and came back with that huge win. So I think there's value there if you can sort of identify that team week to week that just laid a complete egg and now has a good position.
And they probably – They'd probably be like a touchdown favorite if they hadn't gotten their asses kicked last week.
So. Right. So,
with that being said, let's go to what's up?
What were you saying, Andre?
I was just going to give my upset, which is
– I was going to say, Andre, what's your upset? Yeah.
All right, exactly. You're chomping at the bit over there. He's just, go ahead.
My upset is Texans one. Or – why do you keep talking, Ricky? Let me talk. My upset is Texans over Packers. I'm not very comfortable with it, but talk about paper tigers, Mike. What's the opposite of a paper tiger? When you play, like, I guess, a real tiger, right?
Cardboard lion?
I don't know. A lion? So, a clay lion?
My point is, you mentioned how the Packers have played a lot of poor teams before last week. The Texans are the opposite. They played a lot of great teams. And, you know, they played the Titans. They've already played the Chiefs. They've already played the Ravens. That's a tough schedule. And now they're playing the Packers, another tough team. But I think the Packers, the Texans have kind of finally figured out offensively. Deshaun Watson has finally woken up. He wasn't pressured much against Tennessee. And the Packers are actually 22nd in pass rush on Pro Football Focus. I think Watson, he's going to have time to throw. He'll be at home. And I think I know it's an upset of the week, so I have to say, yeah, Texans will upset the Packers, but I do think they cover for sure. Yeah, let's say they win too. Not confident, Ricky, though.
Ricky, who's your upset?
I'll take the Bears over the Rams on Monday night. Yep. I think that Chicago defense is – they aren't getting the notoriety that they have in previous seasons, but you look, and that's a good unit. I mean, they're able to – they slowed down Tampa Bay last week. They're – fifth in defensive DVOA, according to Football Outsiders. Fourth overall in defensive grades, according to Pro Football Focus. They got the number four pass rush. And I just think that they'll be able to pose similar problems to what the 49ers posed against the Rams this past week. So I say that as somebody who really likes the Rams in the long run this season. But, yeah, I think this is an opportunity for that Bears defense to sort of flex its muscle a bit and maybe start to get the attention that hasn't quite been there this year. On the big stage. So I think the Bears win outright on the road over the Rams.
I'll go my Thursday night for my upset. I like the Giants, 4-point road underdogs, to go into Philly and beat the Eagles. The Eagles are just bad. Like, I think they're bad.
Them covering against Baltimore pissed me off last week.
It was so bad.
That is the one thing, right, is they've done that 2 weeks in a row now where they just get – dump trucked early and then they claw back. They didn't cover against Pittsburgh, but they came damn close to it. And then that Baltimore one was a train wreck. So I don't love that, but just so many, they're bad. I just don't think they're very good at all. Carson Wentz has been atrocious. The offense isn't very good. The defense isn't very good. And then you got injuries, Zach Ertz, Miles Sanders aren't going to play. So a depleted offense becomes even more depleted. So don't love rolling with the Giants, but I don't know. Let's just do it.
I will say I love when two really bad teams play together and it's close. Like what happened with Washington and the Giants last week at the end of the game. If they have a chance to go for a 2-point conversion to win the game, they're going to do it because nobody wants to watch overtime between those two bad teams.
You know what? Now I'm thinking about it. I'm going to look this up. This might be a betting strategy this year. Like, just take the underdog in every NFC East game. Like, I don't know if it'll work or not, but I guess I can't. I don't know how to look that up. But, like, I don't know. You might as well just take the points when there's just two suckbag teams, right?
So that's the only opportunity that division has to win games this year is beating up on a game.
I know. It's so bad. And we're going to get subjected to it on primetime television
Did you see the Cowboys
watch the debate?
What's that, Andre? The Cowboys
backup on Monday night? If Andy Dalton had continued to stink, they're probably going to bring a guy named Ben DiNucci from James Madison that they took in the 7th round in the draft this past year. And I think he might be the next Tony Romo. He got an Italian last name, Romo DiNucci. Although Romo is actually
more
American. But,
where's Cooper Rush? Where is he?
They got rid of Cooper Rush.
I know, but where is he? That's your boy.
I don't know. Let's do a Google, actually, and see where Cooper Rush is before
that. Could be a trade deadline acquisition right there. I want to go out and prioritize.
Cooper Rush is a free agent. I think his career is over.
Oh, I guess. He's going to go play for The Rock.
Don't be surprised if he gets a call from Dallas this week.
Don't be surprised if Jason Garrett gets a call or Tony Romo, Troy Aikman. They should do that. Just put in like all those guys. Just rotate them through. It'd be great.
Oh, Cooper Rush was actually released from the Giants practice squad on September 29, 2020.
So, oh, man.
So, yeah. Sad. So I guess Jason Garrett really liked
Garrett. Cooper Rush. Cause... loves him, huh? Yeah.
It's amazing Jason how Garrett certain guys rotate within the division. Like, I feel like we see – maybe I'm just accustomed to seeing that in the AFC East with so many, like, Patriots going to other AFC East teams. But I feel like that happens frequently across the NFL.
Definitely.
All right, who's going to win the World Series before we go?
Oh, yeah. Dodgers in six.
Dodgers in a sweep.
Yeah. Rays in seven.
Wow. He's like, yeah, I agree. Rays in seven.
I like that kid, Arozarena, Arizona.
Rosarene. That can't last though, right? Like that kid, like
he
I know
last for one more week. One more week.
The Rays are a snooze fest.
They are. I mean, they're good, but like
if it's a season the Rays are gonna win a championship, it's gonna be this season.
Well, it's either way, right? Like it would be funny if the Dodgers did it too. Like they've been knocking at the door for years, and now finally they get a 60-game season and like a bubble playoff, and they play the Rays, and they finally do it.
Yeah. It's
like
but it's also huge for both cities because the Lakers won the NBA Finals, the Lightning won the Stanley Cup. This is kind of the rubber match between Tampa Bay and Los Angeles.
Oh,
who's the COVID
champ? Rubber match? Do they play each other in those?
No, but like they each have a championship.
Okay, I got you. Sure.
So. LA has a competitive advantage in the NFL, having two teams. But
the Bucks have
Rams Bucks NFC Championship on the table.
I like it.
Oh, all right, guys.
Bye.
Enjoy the World Series. Enjoy the football. Enjoy the debates. We should have done a debate segment. That's what the people really want. It's more politics talk.
Nobody wants that.
Just go over some prop bets for the debate. So. All right.
We'll give our we'll let everybody know who we're voting for next week. I'm sure that'll be good for the comment section.
That'll be our locks and upsets. Yeah. All right, guys. That's Ricky, Andre. I'm Mike. We'll be back again next week. See you then.
Bye.